We are in our Waymaker series leading up into Easter, and we're in the book of Mark, and this week we're going to turn to the miracle when Jesus healed a man from leprosy. So there are two accounts of Jesus healing people with leprosy in the New Testament, the man in Mark that we're going to talk about today, and then there's also a healing of 10 recorded in the book of Luke. There are two other times specifically that leprosy is mentioned in the Old Testament. Moses' sister Miriam got leprosy, and then an army commander named Nahum. And then if you go to the book of Leviticus, you're going to find lots and lots of instructions on what to do if you find yourself with leprosy. And I have to be honest with you, I grew up in the church, kind of. I went to Sunday school. I thought leprosy was going to be a much bigger deal in my life than it actually has turned out to be. My younger self didn't really understand, and in Sunday school, they tell you the same stories year after year, over and over again. And I don't know if you know this, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke often, and in this case they do, tell the same story. So what I thought was three separate times a man had leprosy was actually the same account being recounted by three different authors. So I'm not joking. I am being very serious that I thought leprosy was going to be a really big deal as an adult. And it was something that I was a little bit nervous of. Anytime there was like a rash or something, I was like, this is it. It has come for me. It is time. So I have been released from that in my life, but I just thought it's just humorous. I was a bit of an anxious child, if you couldn't figure that out. So anyway, from my privileged North American life, leprosy has not factored in as much as I thought it would. So on that note, shall we turn to the book of Mark? You can follow along in YouVersion under events and find our church, or there's Bibles in front of you. We're going to go to Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourselves to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Fun fact that I also learned, I learned so much, but did you know that the word leper today is considered a derogatory term and that it's not encouraged to be used in generalized conversation? Now, don't be nervous, because you probably don't use the word leper in everyday conversation. But if it did come up, I'm just letting you know that it is actually not a nice word. It is preferred to say a man with leprosy or a person with leprosy because of the social stigma that has now been attached to the word leper over the years. In ancient times, the word leprosy was actually a catch-all term for skin diseases. Some were contagious, some were not. Actual leprosy as it's called today, Hansen's disease, in the time of Jesus, was very contagious, and it had no known cure. True leprosy was a death sentence, and it was a cruel one. You were essentially sentenced to die slowly while living in extreme poverty, extreme isolation. You might never touch another human being again in your life. Pile on top of that a healthy dose of deep and overwhelming shame, and you would have a small glimpse of what it would feel like to live as a person with leprosy in New Testament times. Leprosy is caused by coming in contact with a specific bacteria. This bacteria causes skin patches that are a different color, patches on your skin. They're a different color than your skin. And as the bacteria spreads, you begin to lose feeling in your extremities, your fingers, your hands, your feet. And then as time goes on, you might be able to not close your eyes. You would not be able to close your hands or lift your feet. It does really terrible things to your body. It will cause paralysis. And as you begin to lose feeling in your hands and feet, you can't tell if you hurt yourself. So if you step on a nail or if you cut your hand, you wouldn't know because you couldn't feel it. And then you can't treat it. And then you get infection. And then other things set in. And it's a really terrible, awful disease when not treated. People with leprosy would often look deformed because they would be missing fingers and toes. Their eyes wouldn't be quite right. They would be frightening to look at in the end stages of the disease. If you've spent any time in the book of Leviticus, which is the third book from the Old Testament, you'll know that there are clear instructions of what you're to do if you find yourself with a skin disease. Specifically, in Leviticus 13, we read this instruction: a person with a skin disease is to present themselves to the priest, and if the priest determines that it's leprosy, the person is declared unclean, and they are cast out from their community. So that's why they're living in isolation, because they are no longer permitted to live in their family, in their town, in their community. Now, in your overstimulated, overbusy lives, you might think, well, that doesn't sound quite so bad to be sent out to live alone. But that's really short-sighted. Short-sighted for us and extremely short-sighted for the Israelites. In ancient Israel and in the time of the New Testament, people lived in community in a way that we do not understand in Canada. The community of God's people gathered together around God's presence in the tabernacle, and they just did all of their life together. They lived in community. So to be sent out was more than just a restful time. It was to be cut off from the way of life they had known. Leviticus 13:45 tells us, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean, and they must live alone, they must live outside the camp. Their uncleanliness from this skin disease separated them from community, from relationships. They may never see their children again, their spouse again, their parents again. They were completely and utterly separated from the life that they knew. And add to that the shame of having to yell out unclean anytime they did happen to come in contact with someone, probably when they came to the edges of town to beg for food, to beg for clothing, to beg for help. That's probably when they would have come in contact with people. The way Israel dealt with disease, and specifically skin disease, differed from the surrounding nations of the time, and mainly in their understanding of how diseases were healed. Other religions of the time maybe would claim to have secretive cures for the disease. So do this ritual, do this thing, say this chant, and you can be cured. Israel, the Jewish people, believed that healing was entirely in the hands of God. Priests, therefore, simply declared what was clean and unclean. That's why in Leviticus 13-14, you find so much instruction around skin diseases so that the priests could know what they were looking at. The priests themselves, the people that they went to see if they were clean, unclean, had no power to heal the disease. They had no power to heal the affliction that the person came with. Their job was to protect the nation of Israel from uncleanliness. Uncleanliness separated the people from God. So their job was to protect people from uncleanliness. So that's all they did. They couldn't heal them. There was no one to heal leprosy except for God alone. And so leprosy was feared because of the physical toll it took on a body, but also maybe in some ways more because of the spiritual and emotional implications of contracting the disease. And it was widely believed at the time of this writing that all sickness came because of personal sin or demon possession. Almost everyone would have classified the man in Mark as a sinner. He would have been a man with leprosy, and he was definitely a sinner. They would have believed probably that he brought this disease on himself and that he was getting the just rewards for some, maybe everyone knew his sin and it was outward and they're like, that seems right. Or maybe they didn't know and they assumed it was a hidden sin and they're like, well, he looked really good on the outside, but I guess not so much then. There was perhaps a little bit of judginess around it. But that's what they knew, that's what they understood. Side note, if you, like me, were still harboring a secret fear of leprosy, just be free because it's treatable and curable today. It's not particularly contagious, and it actually could be completely eradicated from the world if there was equitable treatment available to everyone. I did a deep dive into leprosy this week. It was really interesting, and I just want to set anybody free that was still harboring some secret fears about that. So our understanding of leprosy is that it's not caused by sin, but a bacteria. But this man didn't know that. He didn't have scientific knowledge. He believed it was because of sin, either known sin or hidden sin in his life, that had caused this illness on his body. So this man comes to Jesus, and he is deeply and sincerely asking to be made clean, maybe from leprosy, but more importantly, from the sin that had caused him to get sick in the first place. This man is asking Jesus to do what no other human on earth was capable of doing, to make him clean. The priests couldn't make him clean. There was no doctor that could come and make him clean. They could treat maybe the symptoms. They could give relief, perhaps, but there was no way to treat what was wrong with him. He was unclean, and he was separated. Jewish people lived with the need to be made ceremonially, that's really hard for me to say today, ceremonially clean regularly. They lived under the laws of the Old Testament that outlined for them what made them clean and unclean. So this man with leprosy was deeply unclean. How to be made clean and the sacrifices necessary to live that out were very important and a very important part of their life. Becoming unclean and being made clean again was something that they would have lived with every single day of their life. If a Jewish person sinned, they had to offer a sacrifice. If they touched something dead, contracted a skin disease, ate unclean food, had bodily discharges, they were unclean. And an unclean person had to avoid anything holy. And they had to take whatever steps were necessary to make themselves clean again. Uncleanliness placed a person in a dangerous condition because they were under the threat of divine retribution. They could be struck dead for their uncleanliness. There are examples of it in scripture. Being unclean sounds to us like a little bit of nonsense because it's not the world we live in, but it was a really big deal back then. To be made clean again involved, it always involved a process. There was always a waiting period. There was always a waiting period to be made clean. For minor cases, the waiting period might only be until evening. You read that often, and they were unclean until evening. You'll read that in the Old Testament. If you were unlucky enough, women, to give birth to a daughter, I know, you were unclean for 80 days, just to throw that out there. There was nothing you could do. You were 80 days of living outside the tent, outside the camp. You were just unclean. Just such a different time than what we lived in today. Being made clean again involved ritual washing, atoning sacrifice, and priestly rituals. It was a lot. And sometimes, in the case like the man with leprosy, there was no way, there was nothing he could do. There was no ritual, there was no sacrifice, there was nothing he could do to be made clean again until his outward skin disease cleared. He couldn't approach the temple. He couldn't offer sacrifices for sin. He was truly helpless to be made right with God. There was nothing he could do. And so what I read as a child about Jesus healing a man was miraculous. It was incredible. Jesus healed the man's leprosy. But what I understand as an adult about this account is even more incredible. Jesus didn't just heal this man. He gave him his life back. He didn't just remove an uncomfortable skin condition that made it uncomfortable for him. He restored his life. He gave him back community. He gave him back family. He gave him back friendship. He gave him back the ability to be made right with God that he didn't have for all of these years. Jesus made him clean. Not just from leprosy, but from the spiritual uncleanliness that was separating him from the world and being made right with God. The disease of leprosy, it's fascinating, and it's not something we deal with very often and that you hear about, but it powerfully represents our present reality in our spiritual condition. Jesus came so that we might be made clean in a way that we cannot do on our own. The New Testament mostly uses the term unclean in a moral way, so rather than the ritual sense like you find in the Old Testament. Jesus came to make us clean on the inside, not for the sake of ritual, but for the sake of being made right with God. We read in the New Testament often that Jesus accused the religious leaders of being more concerned with looking right on the outside than caring for their inner cleanliness. They followed all the rules and they did everything they needed so that they looked really, really good on the outside. But inside, their hearts were dark. They ignored suffering. They lacked humility. They were judgmental. And in some ways, they lost a sense of their humanity because they were so concerned with looking good on the outside that they forgot that they needed to be right and clean on the inside. In Matthew 23, 25 to 26, Jesus says this, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." Jesus came so that we could be made clean on the inside. We might look a little rough around the edges. We might not have it all figured out. We might not do it all perfectly. That's not the most important part. The most important part is the inner condition of our hearts. Jesus was not afraid of the man with leprosy. When you read this account, you don't see any indication that he was afraid of the uncleanliness that the man with leprosy represented. Jesus isn't afraid of our choices and our actions and our behavior that don't line up with the biblical ethic we've committed to live by. Jesus isn't afraid of our sin or our uncleanliness. He's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of our messy lives. He's not afraid of the mistakes we made. He's not afraid of the mess you make in your life over and over again. He's not afraid of it. He actually welcomes himself into it, knowing that he and he alone can clean up the mess of your heart, the mess of your life, the mess of your situation. Only Jesus alone can clean up the mess in our hearts and our lives. I'm using the word unclean a lot here, but really I'm talking about sin. Sin bears consequences. The ultimate consequence with sin, whether that is not acknowledged and surrendered and forgiven, is separation from God. When we sin, when we allow sin to take up root in our life, we are separated from God. And like the man with leprosy who couldn't just decide not to have leprosy anymore, neither can we in our own just decide that we'll be spiritually clean and be made right with God. You can't do what Matt does, my husband, when it's super annoying. I don't know if anybody else of you are like this. But Matt will be like, "My throat's a little scratchy. I feel like I'm getting sick. I'm going to go to bed early tonight. Tomorrow I won't be sick." And it happens every time. Unless he's like super, super sick, he goes to bed early and wakes up in the morning not sick anymore. And then the worst part, though, is that when I say I'm not feeling good, he just looks at me like, "Well, just don't be sick then. Just go to bed early and in the morning you'll be fine." It doesn't work like that. I just can't decide to not be sick anymore. I can't. Okay, fine. That's fine. I make that noise at you a lot, that noise. I love you, but this is a true thing. Does anybody else have this? Just decide not to be sick anymore? Yeah, okay. It's not a thing. It's not a thing in the same way that it's not a thing that we can just decide, we've got this figured out. My life isn't going to be messy anymore. I'm going to get this under control. That sin's not going to be a factor for me anymore. I got this. That's not how it works. There's only one way to be made clean. There's only one way to get the messy situations in our life under control, and that is through the cleansing blood of Jesus. Many of us in this room have already discovered the power of Jesus in our lives. He has changed everything for us. We read that the man with leprosy in his desperation falls to the ground and begs Jesus to make him clean. Do you notice that he didn't actually ask to be healed? Do you see that? In all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he doesn't ask to be healed from the leprosy. He asks to be made clean. And I think that's noteworthy because it wasn't just healing the man was after. He was desperate for the cleansing work in his heart, not just on the outside. He wanted everything. He wanted to be made right so that he could regain his life. Leprosy, according to the tradition of the time, was the outward result of a sinful condition. I don't know about you, but sometimes I come to Jesus with a need. Lord, I need to stop being angry. Lord, I need to stop being judgy. Lord, I need to have kinder words. Could you just come and just change my words? Just change my words. And that's not a bad prayer. That's actually maybe an appropriate prayer. But sometimes the prayer should actually be, Lord, come and change my heart. Come and cleanse my heart. Come and deal with the anger issue inside, because the anger that's coming out is actually just a reflection of what is deep inside my heart. We don't need Jesus to change we do need Jesus to change our behavior, but we don't need willpower. We don't need strength to do and act better. We need to be made clean from the sin that is causing the unclean actions. Like the man with leprosy needed to be made right with God so that the outside illness could go away. Like the man with leprosy, we can come to Jesus and say, I am unclean. Lord, would you make me clean again? Come, Holy Spirit, and access the deepest recess of my heart and make me clean. All those things that I've tucked away and that I've hidden away and that I don't want anybody else to know about, but they're still affecting me. I've committed my life to you, Jesus. I am devoted to following you, but there are parts of my life that I don't want anybody else to know about, and I don't even really want to acknowledge myself, but they are affecting the outward actions of my life. Jesus, would you come and make those clean? And here's the beautiful part. When we sincerely ask to be made clean, when we expose those parts of us that need to be touched by Jesus, we know exactly how he will respond. He'll say to you what he said to the man with leprosy, I am willing. Jesus is willing to make every part of us clean. He's not only willing, in fact, it's his greatest joy and hope and desire that we would all ask to be made clean. I don't read that Jesus hesitated to heal the man. I don't read that he weighed the man's good actions versus his bad actions. I don't read that he brought in some character witnesses to see if the man was truly deserving to be made clean. I just read that Jesus did what was necessary to make this man right. If you were paying attention to when I read at the beginning the scripture, you'll read that it says Jesus was indignant. And so you might be thinking, well, Jesus was kind of mad that the man asked. But if you go back and read the other two accounts in Matthew and Luke, there's actually no mention of the word indignant. Other versions don't mention the word indignant. And in fact, some of the copyists, so the Bible has been copied many times over and over. And at some point, they believe the copyists removed the word indignant and replaced it with compassion because it was hard. It's a hard piece of scripture to understand. Why was Jesus indignant at the man that was asking for help? I don't think he was. Scholars don't think he was. Jesus wasn't indignant at the man for asking. He was angry at the sin that was causing the problem in the first place. God is not angry with you for asking to be made right. He's not mad at you when you bring your sin to him and say, God, I did it again. He's not mad at you. He's mad at the sin. He's mad at the enemy that brought it to your feet. He's mad at the broken world that we live in. He is not mad at you. He looks at you and says, I am willing. Let's do this. That's how I picture Jesus when I bring to him the broken parts of me. Do you also notice that Jesus touched the man? He didn't just use his words to say, you are healed, which he does in other examples throughout scripture. But Jesus physically touched the man with leprosy. And to me, that speaks even more of Jesus' character. He's not afraid of the messy parts of your life. He wants to touch the darkest, messiest parts of who you are because he's not afraid. Part of me wonders if he deliberately touched him because he wasn't afraid, but maybe to foreshadow that in not too long, he was going to take all of the sin on the world on himself and make it right, that there was nothing outside of his ability to make right. Jesus is not afraid of a messy heart, and he is willing to come in and touch it, to make it right, to make it clean. Once and for all, Jesus came and died. He performed the purification rites so that we can all be made clean forever. He was the final sacrifice, the final ritual, the final time of separation. He was the final spiritual blessing needed for us to be made clean. He's not wasn't afraid of the man's leprosy, and he's not afraid of our uncleanliness. The symbolism is really too much for me with all of this. Like I said, I did a lot of deep diving into leprosy. And it just so adequately expresses our own broken condition. Jesus touches what was unclean and makes it clean. The commentator R. Alan Cole says this, wherever the compassionate Christ and the yearning sinner meet, there then comes instantaneous and complete cleansing. Jesus does for us what he did for the man with leprosy. He gives us back our lives from the sin and the shame and the guilt that we carry. He doesn't just give us back a physical life, but he gives us eternal life with God forever. 1 John 1, 7-9 says, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus. His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all wickedness. From the NIV application commentary, this is like word grammar things that is beyond my ability to understand, but I deeply trust smarter people than me. So just bear with me if you are also not a grammar person. Jesus' words here, "be clean," are not in the indicative mood, which would mean he is simply declaring that the leper is clean. Rather, the verb here is imperative, which means that Jesus is causing the cleansing of the disease. Do you see why that's important? Jesus doesn't just say, "you're clean." Jesus causes the man to be clean. When we come humbly, like the man with leprosy did before Jesus, and ask to be made clean, he absolutely does. And he doesn't just say we are clean. He causes that cleanliness through his sacrifice on the cross, through his resurrection, through the redemption, through his blood. Jesus makes us clean. And not from a football field distance away, but right there, intimately, with a hand reaching out, making us clean. No one else can do for us what Jesus can do. We are all living like spiritual lepers until we encounter Jesus. And when Jesus makes us clean, he brings us inside the camp. Jesus sent the man with leprosy back to the priests to be made declared clean. He got a little lost along the way. We're going to give him grace for that. But he was told to go and present himself to the priests so that he could be declared clean and could come back inside the camp. When Jesus makes us clean, we are invited into the family of God. We become children of God. You become part of a body that is bigger than yourself. Jesus doesn't just save you and leave you on your own. He brings you in. He draws you close and you become part of a family. Jesus does all of that. He brings us close. When the man was present himself to the priests, it wasn't just for the man's sake, but it was also for the priest's sake, because they believed that only God could heal leprosy. And so this man was coming and saying, look what God did through his son, Jesus. Through this man, Jesus, that claims to be God, look what he did. Look how I've been healed. Jesus wants to be so close to us and to take out all of the darkness in our lives. Today, I'm going to wrap with this thought from an article written by Sam Albury, and it says this: Jesus' cleanliness is far more powerful contagion than any dirt we can bring to him. There is always more that's right in Jesus than there is that's wrong in us. More grace in him than offense in us. More forgiveness in him than sin in us. The very worst in us cannot compete with the best in Christ. We can't sully him. He can only purify us. However deep our mess goes, his holiness goes deeper. We will never exhaust it. What does that mean to you today? What does it mean to you that you cannot exhaust the grace and forgiveness and mercy of Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus and you know that there are still parts of your heart that need cleansing, that you need Jesus to work on? That's okay. He wants to. What is holding you back from experiencing the full and complete cleansing? I meet people all the time that say, yeah, but Jesus couldn't, because you don't know what I this. Jesus couldn't get to the deepest parts of me and change me because you don't know what those are. There's always that, yeah, but Jesus can't because I am awful. And in some convoluted way, it feels safer to keep that sin tucked away that only you can know. But it's not. When you say, yeah, but I'm so awful, God can't, did you know that you are actually making yourself greater than God? Do you know that you're making your sin bigger than God? When you say, yeah, but God can't, you are actually making yourself the center of the problem and not allowing God to do what he can do. You believe that your sin, your shame, your ugliness, your hidden parts that you don't want anyone else to know is greater than God, and you are the one exception. That's how special you think you are. You are the one exception to God's saving grace. He could save anybody. We sing it with our hearts. God can save anybody, but he can't touch this one thing. It is too much. Do we serve a God that is able, or do we not? Do you know Jesus who saves every part of you, or do you not? I'm saying this to those of you who have been following Jesus for years. If there is still a part of you that needs the cleansing touch of Jesus, don't allow that to be the center of your relationship with him anymore. Lay it down and experience the freeness and the forgiveness and the cleansing that comes only from Jesus. Worship team, if you want to come back, you can. Maybe you're in this room today and you have never experienced the cleansing power of Jesus. You don't really know what that is. I would say to you that that is available to you today. We are all born sinful. We are all unclean. We all have things that separate us from Jesus. But Jesus came. He lived on this earth. He died on the cross. He shed blood, and he rose again 3 days later so that he is still alive, so that each and every one of us can receive cleansing and forgiveness for our sin. There is no reason for us to live separated from God. He has come so that we can be made right with him. So this morning, Pastor Tracy and the team are going to just lead us for a few moments. And what I would encourage you to do is to take some time and ask the Lord, is there something in my heart that I have been holding back that I can lay before you and make clean? Or if you're like, nah, there's nothing, I'm good. Okay, maybe not, but take the time and worship Jesus for what he has done for you. Take the time to acknowledge the cleansing power in his life and worship him for what he deserves. And if you have never made a decision to follow Jesus or to ask him to come and cleanse you, we would love to talk to you about that. That's the next step for you in your journey. If you've never done that, today is the day you can do that and be made right with God. So you can come and find me. You can come and find Pastor Ethan. As we worship, I want this to be an individual moment where you ask God what he is speaking to you this morning and take that time between you and him to hear what he has to say. And so, Lord, we thank you for the cleansing work that you've done on our behalf. That we don't have to be outcasts that live outside of the tent. We don't have to be cast out of your presence, but we can be brought close and be made right because of the forgiveness that you offer us. And so, Lord, would you just take this moment in all sincerity and expose the parts of our heart that we are just holding back from you. And Lord, would you come and cleanse those parts of us that we may know what it's like to live in joy and freedom like the man with leprosy did. Thank you, God, for your cleansing power. Thank you for your presence that is with us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us now, Lord.